Okay, good evening, everybody. Today's daf, tomorrow's daf that we're learning today is Yuma daf Ayin Tes. We left off on daf Ayin Chesem Beis on the last line of the page on Ayin Chesem Beis at the two dots ha'ochel kikoseves hagasa. I don't get the list of sponsors anymore, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. What we're going to discuss in today's daf, and almost exclusively, I think pretty much exclusively, is the shear of a koseves hagasa on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara is going to discuss if Kosevis includes the garin, it includes the seed, or it does not include the seed. The Gemara is going to discuss that shita, that a Kosevis is larger than a kibetza, and we're going to have a challenge and two defenses to that shita, that a Kosevis is larger than a kibetza. And then on the base, we're going to have the shita, that a Kosevis is smaller than a kibetza. And we're going to bring two rayas to that shita, that a Kosevis is smaller than a kibetza. And that's it. That's the whole daf. It's all discussing about exactly what the shear is of a koseves hagasa. So says the Gemara, ha'ochel koseves hagasa. The Mishnah said that if a person on Yom Kippur eats a food the size of a koseves hagasa, a large date, he's going to be chayiv. So Gemara says, "By Rav Papa," so Rav Papa raises the following shaila. When the Mishnah says that if you eat a shear of Yom Kippurim of a koseves hagasa, you're chayiv, does that mean begarinasa or below garinasa? Does that include the pit or does that not include the pit? Begarinasa would mean that when it says kamoa, the Mishnah doesn't just say koseves hagasa, it says koseves hagasa kamoa uki garinasa. So it means that we measure the size of food that you're eating together with the as the size of a date together with its pit. Or maybe kamoa kugarinasa does not mean that we measure the size together with its pit. Kamoa kugarinasa means that we measure a very large koseves, that where the fruit of the koseves is as large as the pit of a koseves. Because we're going to soon see that typically on a koseves, the pit is larger than the fruit. But if you have a really large koseves, the fruit is as large as the pit of the koseves. That's the understanding of this shaila that the Gemara raises, that it's that a koseves hagasa is bigger than a stam koseves, and that's why it's called the koseves hagasa. So by Ravashi raises the similar shaila, but not about koseves hagasa, about a different halacha. Etzem kisaora, the halacha is that a bone from a dead body, the size of a saora, is metame b'magul b'masa, but not metame ba'ohel. You could be, you don't become tame if you're in the same room as it, but if you touch it or you carry it, then you're going to become tame from it, right? That's the question when they do dental implants. So sometimes they use artificial stuff to make the fake teeth, but sometimes they'll implant human bone into the dental implant. So can a Kohen first of all visit the dentist's office if he happens to have some of that material around his office, or can a Kohen get such a dental implant where it comes from human bone? It happens to be it goes through a whole process where it's broken down and it's destroyed and it's rebuilt, so it may not even be an etzem kisaora, but the halacha is that being in the office, it's not metame ba'ohel, but maga umasa, it would be a problem of maga and masa if it comes to that. It may be a maga beis hastarim. It's a whole discussion in contemporary poskim. But there is such a halacha that a bone the size of a saora is metame b'maga umasa. What do we mean the size of a saora? B'klipasa or below klipasa? Do we mean the saora together with the klipa, with the shell around the saora, or the saora without the klipa? And furthermore, belacha or biyavesha, do we mean a moist saora or a dry saora? So those are two similar shailas. The shaila about the koseves hagasa, does that include the garin? And the size of an etzem kisaora when it comes to tumah, does that include the klipa? So the Gemara explains that Rav Papa and Rav Ashi, each one didn't raise the other one's shaila. Rav Ashi lo mibayle had Rav Papa. Rav Ashi wasn't bothered by Rav Papa's question about the koseves hagasa, because gasa itmar kol kama de gasa, it calls it a koseves hagasa, so it sounds like as big as it could possibly be. As big as it could possibly be clearly includes the volume of the pit as well. And Rav Papa lo mibaya lehad Rav Ashi, Rav Papa wasn't bothered by Rav Ashi's question about the etzem kisaora, because it was obvious to him that we measure an etzem kisaora by a dry saora with the klipa, because lacha, the shibolas mikri, if it were a lacha, you wouldn't call it a saora, you would call it a shibolas. And shalobi klipa, so ushla mikri, if it didn't have its klipa, you'd call it something else, you would call it an ushla, you wouldn't call it a saora. So that's why Rav Papa didn't have Rav Ashi's shayla, Rav Ashi's suffix that Rav Ashi had. So you see, each one was not bothered by the other one's suffix, and that's why each one only asked the question that they asked. The problem is, the Achronim are bothered that, wait a second, how does the Gemara know that each one wasn't bothered by the other one's suffix? Just because they don't raise the shayla, it means that they're not bothered by the shayla? Does every Amora have to raise every shayla in the entire world? And if they don't, you know, if I ask a shayla, that's the only thing I raise my hand in a shir. Wait, I don't understand Rashi. Oh, you understand everything else? It's just Rashi that you don't understand? Who makes such an assumption that you understand everything else and that you're not bothered by any other shayla? So the Tvarshah writes that you have to assume that the Gemara knew that Rav Papa didn't want to raise the suffix of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi didn't want to raise the suffix of Rav Papa, and that's why it's medactic that it's only because the other suffix was pasha to them. They must have had some sort of mesorah, some sort of understanding that each one was shying away from raising the other one's shayla, because it's not a normal diuk to make that just because I ask a shayla, it means it's the only shayla I have in the entire world. Especially these are on two different topics. Meaning one is din in tuma, and the other one is a topic that has nothing to do with tuma and tahara. So that's as far as the shayla about whether it's with the garin or not with the garin. So now the Gemara is going to quote two deos. The whole rest of the daf is two deos. How big is a kosevus hagasa? Is it larger than in relation to a beitza? Is it larger than a beitza or smaller than a beitza? So Amar Rabbam Rav Yehuda, kosevus hagasa sha'amru yisera mikabeitza. A kosevus hagasa that we talk about, the shear of a kosevus hagasa, it's slightly larger than a kibetza. It only says yesera, but it must mean slightly larger than a kibetza, because in general we try not to make machlokas min akotze el akotze, that two people are arguing in total opposite extremes. So if someone else is going to think that it's smaller than a kibetza, then the sheet that holds that it's larger must hold it's only slightly larger than a kibetza. So even though normally isurei achila that you have in the Torah, the shear is always a kazayis, the Isra of Achila on Yom HaKippurim never says lo yocha, lo socha, lo socha. It never says an Isra of Achila on Yom HaKippurim. All the Pasuk says is kikola nefesh asher lo su'une be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. So lo su'une means that there's not a sense of inui on Yom Kippur. Then a person is in violation of the Isra of Achila. So v'kimlu l'rabbanan t'bahachim yas v'daiti. The Rabbanan had such a tradition that when you eat this amount of food, you have a sense of yishuv hadas, that a person is not mu'une. But batzer me'hachiv, person that eats any less than that, then lomias v'daite, he doesn't have that same sense of yishuv hadas, and he's still mu'una, and therefore the shir is the shir of achila that you're going to be chayiv for in Yom Kippur is that which is miyashiv daito of a person, that which makes him no longer mu'una. And the Chum had a tradition that the shir that makes it, that's miyashiv daito, is a kosevus gasa, which happens to be larger than a kibetza. Now the actual din in the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yom Kippurim points out that the shear of koseves, we don't need to this ha'ara about the shear of a koseves is not said on the actual din in the Mishnah, because it doesn't need to be said on the din in the Mishnah, because it's obvious that the shear of achila on Yom Kippur is going to be different than the shear of achila of every other isra achila, because every other isra achila it says b'lashon achila when it uses a different lashon in the Torah, so clearly it's going to be a different shear. But Rav Yehuda said that the shear is bigger than a kibetza, so that's where the Gemara felt like it needed to say something. What's the makor that the shear is bigger than a kibetza? So that's what the Gemara says. Oh, it's because it's all about yisuvei daita. It's all about yishuv hadas, so that's where we need explanation, that it's about yishuv hadas. To say that it's a different shear than a shear kazayis, you don't need to explain that to me. That's obvious from the psukim in the Torah. But to say that it's about yishuv hadas, that must come from somewhere. That that must whether we only feel a need to explain that because Rabbi Yehuda already identified Kosev Sagas as being larger than a Kibetza. So now the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yehuda Meisvei. They ask from Mishnah Masecha Sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah tells us in Sukkah Dav Chavav that Maisa Veivil Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai Litzam Satavshil. They brought Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai a little Ti'ima, a little taste of a Tavshil. Rabbi Gamliel Shtei Kosevos Udli Shalmaim, and they brought Rabbi Gamliel two dates and a pitcher of water. Va'amru, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel said, "Hail the sukkah, bring him into the sukkah." They didn't want to eat such foods outside of the sukkah. So apparently, when given two dates and a pitcher of water, he would not eat it outside of the sukkah. Vitani Allah, and the Gemara explains the Mishnah over there. Normally, the words Vitani Allah is a Tosefta that's explaining the Mishnah, a Braisa that's explaining the Mishnah. Tani normally means a Tosefta or a Braisa. And Alichos Olam in Sharbeis, that's what he writes, and it always means a Tosefta or a Braisa. In this case, Siach Yitzchak points out, it's obvious that it's not, because if you look it up in the Gemara over there, it's the Gemara. It's not a Tosefta, it's not a Braisa. So this is an unusual usage of the word Vitani Allah. But anyway, Vitani Allah, the Gemara over there explains, Lo Mipnei Shehalacha Kach, the reason they insisted on eating it in the Sukkah is not because the Halacha requires that it be brought into the Sukkah. Achila Sarai, Shtia Sarai is Mutter outside of the Sukkah. They wanted to be extra machmir on themselves to only eat this in the sukkah. So apparently, to eat two kosavos outside of the sukkah is mutter. It's only a chumrah that they had that they only wanted to eat in the sukkah. So the Mishnah goes on to say another story that relates to this. When they gave Rabbi Tzadok bread less than a kibetza worth of bread, so he was knowing three kulos about this bread. First thing is, he didn't do Netilas Yadayim because he thought that Pachas Mikabetza doesn't require Netilas Yadayim. But since he didn't do Netilas Yadayim, Netalu B'mapa. He only took it while his hands were wrapped in a cloth because it would have been a little bit disgusting to take the bread with dirty hands. So that was Mishuma Nina Sadas, that he couldn't be Sovel, something so motless. That's how Rashi explains over here. Tosus happens to be a Maseches. Tosus in the Dibra Maskel in the Tala B'mapa explains that Rabbi Tzadik was a Kohen and he ate Chulin B'tahara, B'tahara Satruma. He ate Chulin even on the level of Tahara Satruma. So they were Gozer and Stam Yadayim that they have a din of a Sheni Latuma, and therefore a Sheni Latuma would passel Truma. So that's why he needed Netilas Yadayim for eating Truma and even for Pachas Mikabetza, says Tosos, because even though Pachas Mikabetza is not Mekabel Tuma, that just means that Pachas Mikabetza doesn't transmit tuma, but pachas mikabetza food can become tame. The truth is that's a major machlokas Rashi and Tosos throughout Shas. When we say that a pachas mikabetza is not subject to tumas ochlin, does that mean that it can't even become tame with tumas ochlin, or does it only mean it doesn't have the capacity to transmit tuma through tumas ochlin? Tosos seems to be working with the assumption that it can become tame. So that's why he took it in a mappa, because he didn't do netilas yadayim. So he wanted to make sure not to be metame the food that he was eating, since he was knowing to eat everything al taras hatruma. Whereas if you assume that it anyway cannot become tame, he wouldn't need to be notel b'mapa for that reason. And that's why Rashi says, no, the reason he was notel b'mapa was aninus hadas, it was ma'us, it was disgusting to take something with dirty hands, to hold the bread with dirty hands. And that's why he didn't want to do it. But anyway, so they gave Rabbi Tzadok this food, he took a b'mapa, and the second kula that he was knowing, v'acholu chutzl sukkah, he ate it outside of the sukkah because it's only in achil sarai, and achil sarai is part of the sukkah. And third kula that he had was v'lo beirich acharav, that he didn't say berch samazon afterwards, because he holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that berch samazon is only when you have a shir svia, and a shir svia is a kibetza. So from the fact that the Mishnah was medayik to say that the food that he had was pachos mi kibetza, so ha kibetza by sukkah, the implication is that why does it have to highlight that what they gave Rabbi Tzadok was pachos mi kibetza? Sounds like the kula that he used would not have applied had the food been more than a kibetza. Had it been more than a kibetza, you would have to eat it in the sukkah. Tosi Shatnam raises the question, is that really such a great deal? Meaning, if we said that he was only knowing one kula with the food, right, that he didn't eat it in the sukkah, then it's a good deal. You know, we said dafka because it's pachas mikabetza, he didn't eat it in the sukkah. But had it been more than a kibetza, he would have eaten in the sukkah. But we said three kulas that he did with the food. He didn't wash, he didn't eat it in the sukkah, Beitza, he didn't bench. Maybe the reason we mentioned that as Pachas Mika Beitza is about the other two. Maybe it's about the diuk we're supposed to make is that had it been more than a kabeitza, you would have had to wash and bench. But maybe for sukkah, it would have been a lot more. You would need it to be much larger than a kabeitza. And maybe a sheer kabeitza does not require sukkah. So that's the kasha Tos Yishanim raises. In the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he says that the Gemara could have given that answer, but the Gemara wants to be miyashev even if the diuk of a kabeitza is going on all three of these halachas. So the Gemara has an answer that will cover it, even if the diuk is correct on all three of these halachas. So anyway, so what's the Gemara's point over here? So what? So Rabbi Tzadok only ate it outside of the sukkah because it was less than a kabeitza. But had it been a kabeitza, he would have had to eat it in the sukkah. But if a kosev sagasa is larger than a kabeitza, which Rav Yehuda wanted to tell us, that a kosev sagasa is larger than a kabeitza, well, we had two stories over here. We had a story where they brought Rav Gamliel two kosevos, and he felt that it did not need to be eaten in the sukkah. Two kosevos didn't need to be eaten in the sukkah. But something that's a kabeitza does have to be eaten in the sukkah? Well, if a kosev sagasa is larger than a kabeitza, how could two kosevos not have to be eaten in the sukkah, and a kabeitza, yes, have to be eaten in the sukkah? Hashta shtei kosevos below garinon, love a kabeitza. If you take out the pits and you have two kosevos that are served to Rav Gamliel, he thought that that does not require a sukkah. So kosev sagasa v'garinase, miyavi yiseirim v'kabeitza, a kosev sagasa together with the garin, with the garin, that's going to be bigger than a kabeitza. Can it be that it's bigger than a kabeitza? There's no way that the garin is larger than the food in a koseves. So mela shouldn't be larger than two kosevos without their garin in. So it doesn't make sense that the shtei kosevos are going to be pachos mikabeitza if a single shtei kosevos without the garin are going to be smaller than a kabeitza, and one koseves with the garin is going to be larger than a kabeitza. How big is this seed that makes all the difference between two kosevos and one kosevos? So answers the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yirmiyah in shtei kosevos below garinasan lo av kabeitza. No, the seed is actually very, very large, and if you have two pitted dates, then it is smaller than a kabeitza. But kosevos hagasa vigarinasa, one date with its pit still in it, right? Pitted means that the pit has been removed. I hope I used that right. Right? If you have two pitted dates where the pit has been removed, that's going to be smaller than a kabeitza. But one date where the pit is still in it, that's going to be larger than a kabeitza. Kosevos hagasa vigarinasa, have you seen the kabeitza? Because the garin of a date is so big, it's larger, it's more, it's greater in volume than the ochel of the date. So says the Gemara that Amr Rav Papa, that yeah, it is exactly correct. Hainu Damri Inshi, that's the phrase that people always like to say. Trei Kavi Ditamri Chad Kavi Dekashiasa Usariach. That in two kavin of tamarim with their pits, you have one kav of kashiasa of garinim and usariach and more. I mean, you end up with if you have a kav or two kavin which are measures of dates that still have their pits in them, more than a kav of it, meaning more than half of it is the pit. The pit is larger than the fruit. Kavet de kashiasa is a phrase that means a kav of pits. There is a sefer called Kavet de kashiasa, but it is not a sefer that is about dates. It is not a sefer that is about pits. It is not a sefer that is about Yom Kippurim. It's written by the author of the Chalkas Yoav. He actually wrote it as an add-on to the end of the Chuvas Chalkas Yoav. He's a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. And what he wrote, it was a gimmick. It was like a hook. He wrote a sefer of 103 questions, where the only thing that all 103 questions have in common is that he doesn't know the answer to any of them. So he poses 103 strong lamdisha questions. So he called the sefer Kava de Kashiasa. Kava Kuf Beis Aleph is a gematria of 103. Kashiasa, of questions. Now, that's obviously in context, not what it means. Kava is a measurement, and kashiasa are a date pits, but it was a melitza, that it's kava de kashiasa, that he has 103 questions. Obviously, it was a good hook, it was a good gimmick, because if you put out to the Jewish world, to the Torah world, a sefer of 103 questions where you insist that there are no answers to these questions, so you can bet, and sure enough, it happened, that there's a sefer called kava de terutza, there's a sefer called Kava di Yeshuva, Kava di Nichusa. Everyone wrote 103 answers to all of the questions that the Chelkas Yoav had. It's like, it reminds me a little bit of the story they say that someone came to the Stipler where he answered every single kasha that Rabbi Kiva Eger left on Shas as a Tzarechian, or left as a Shem Yair Seinai. Person wrote a sefer, we answered every single Rabbi Kiva Eger except for two of them. And he went to the Stipler for Haskama to the sefer, and the Stipler was stunned. He said, I cannot believe someone learned every Rabbi Kiva Eger and Shas and only understood two of them? How's that possible, that he only understood two Rabbi Kiva Egers? Meaning, very often, when Gedolim ask kashas, there's a reason they didn't think of the answers that we think of. But still, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, we're supposed to try. We're supposed to try to come up with answers. But anyway, what the Gemara is trying to say over here, what Rav Papa is saying, is that Eino Chinami, the volume of the pit of the date is greater than the volume of the food of the date. So says the Gemara, another answer to be Miyashiv Rav Yehuda, Rava Amar, no, you don't even need to go that far. No, you know why Rabbi Gamliel didn't require the Shnei Kosavos to be eaten in the Sukkah? Not because it was smaller than a kibetza. It was larger than a kibetza, but it was fruits. You don't need to eat fruits in the Sukkah. But when they brought bread to Rabbi Tzadok, so it was bread. It was bread, pachos mikabetza, that he didn't need to eat in the sukkah, but had the bread been yoser mikabetza, he would have had to eat in the sukkah. So you can't ask a stira from one to the other that, oh, look, Rabbi Gamliel ate two kosavos outside of the sukkah. Those were two kosavos of fruit. It was so enochinami, it's bigger than a kibetza. But bigger than a kibetza of fruit. So now the Gemara asks on Rava from a braisa. Meisve, so they ask on Rava the following braisa. Amar Rabbi, kishayinu lamdum Torah itzal Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. When we were learning Torah by Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua, hevilu fe'enu te'enim va'anavim. He brought for us figs and grapes. Va'achalnu machilas arayim chutz l'sukkah. And we ate them as an achilas arayim outside of the sukkah. Sounds like achilas arai in achilas kvar lo, that it's only in achilas arai only because they ate a small quantity of fruit that they were willing to eat it outside of the sukkah. But had it been a shir kibetza, then it would not have been eaten outside of the sukkah. So isn't that a kasha on Rava? Rava just got through telling us that fruit you can eat as much as you want outside of the sukkah. You can eat shnei kosavos, even it's way bigger than a kibetza outside of the sukkah. Aye, but it sounds like when they learned Torah by Rav Lozer ben Shemua, they were only comfortable eating outside the sukkah because it was only an achilas. But had it been in Achilas Keva, they would not have been so comfortable. So the Gemara answers that when Rebbe says that they ate Achilas Arai, Achalnum ke Achilas Arai Chutzal Sukkah, that they ate Te'enim and Anavim even in great quantities. But since it's only fruit, it's always like an Achilas Arai. It always has a din of Achilas Arai, and that's why it's allowed to be eaten outside of the Sukkah. The price is not saying that they ate massive quantities of fruit. It's saying that it's not saying that they ate tiny quantities of fruit. It's saying that they ate massive quantities of fruit, but still it has a din of achilas arai. Or another possible answer, ibay seima, achalnu machilas keva, ve'achalnu pas achilas arai bahadayu chutz l'sukkah. No, what they were saying is we ate lots of fruit, and we ate achilas arai of bread also together with that fruit, and since there was not an achilas keva of bread, we were allowed to eat that outside of the sukkah. So the Gemara now brings a raya from a braisa to this din of Rava, that achilas peros does not require a sukkah, that you can eat as many fruits as you want and you don't need to eat in the sukkah. You can have a steak dinner. A steak is not a fruit, but it's also not from Chamesh Saminin, so it does not require a sukkah. You can have a steak dinner and it could fill you up. It could be one of those gigantic steaks that are meant for two that you buy at the steak. Still, you eat it outside of the sukkah, and that's mutter. So Leim Misayeli says, well, I'll bring a riot from a brisa, because the Mishnah in sukkah tells us that according to Shitas Rabbi Elezer, a person is obligated to eat 14 meals in the sukkah over the course of the 7 days of sukkahs. Achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. The chamol, no, only the first night is a chiyuv. After that, if you're hungry, you eat in the sukkah. But if you're not going to eat, then you don't have to be in the sukkah. But Rabbi Elazar holds that there's a requirement of 14 meals. So the Brice explaining Shitas Rabbi Elazar says, l'fichachim hishlim b'minei targima, if you complete or compensate for the su'udos with minei targina, with mina targima, things that are malafis bemes hapas, then you yotze, then yotza. You fulfill the su'uda, the one of the su'udas that you're chayiv. Avisal kadaitach pri bayu sukkah. But if you hold that peri bayu sukkah, that peros are chayiv in sukkah anyway, listeni peros. Why does it say mina targima? Let it say peros. If you eat peros, you yotze. So it must be that peros are, do not have chayiv sukkah at all, and therefore it's not, you can't be mashlim with peros. What are mina targima? Meaning what I just said before, that if you eat a big steak, you're allowed to have it outside the sukkah. Is that true? Just because you're allowed to have peros outside the sukkah, does that mean you're allowed to have, the Gemara is being mechalik over here between mine targima versus peros. So Rashi writes that mine, Tosos in Masechta Sukkah, when Daf Chavzayin Amud Aleph writes that mine targima is basar v'dagim, things that are malafes bo'asapas. Rashi in Sukkah says that mine targima are paparos uma adanim, like peros and kisnin and kaflutos mevushalos. So the problem is it doesn't really fit with our sugya, because our sugya is distinguishing between peros and mine targima. So it's hard to say that's what mine targima mean. Tos Yeshanim over here in the Tos HaRash write that mine targima means a tafshil that has in it some of the chameshas mine dagon, and only that requires a sukkah. So was I correct before that a steak could be eaten outside of the sukkah? According to Tosfos, no. According to Tos Yeshanim and Tos HaRash, yes. Only things that have chamesh aminim in their ingredients require a sukkah. So the Gemara rejects this raya anyway. My mine targima peros, says the Gemara. No, when it says mine targima, it means peros. And the Bryce is telling us the peros are also chayiv in sukkah, meaning viba yisema ba'asud lo shchichi peri. Or it could be that really peros also require a sukkah. You know why the Bryce didn't mention it and only mentioned mine targima? Maybe some at a place where you don't have too many peros around, so they don't have access to peros. Tosfos HaRash points out, what do you mean? There's such a place that there are no peros? That you can't find any fruits? There are people like that. There are people that don't eat any fruits. I remember when I was a little boy, a guy came into shul, and I remember him telling my father on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you know what I made a shechion on last night? An apple. And he said, for him it was a new fruit. I don't think he understood the concept of a new fruit. But whatever, there are halachic problems with that anyway. But some people just don't eat any fruits. But to say that there are no fruits available, where do you live that there are no fruits available? It says it's HaRash. You see that when we talk about peros, it must be peros of the Shivas Haminim, Te'enim, Anavim. That's what Reb Lozer ben Shmuel had, a Kosevis by Rabbi Gamliel. But Shar peros are not going to require a sukkah according to anybody. And the raya is from here, the fact that the Gemara says that it's talking about a case where peros are not matzui. It can't be that there are no peros that are matzui. It must be that it's just Shivas Haminim that are not matzui. That's what the Tos HaRash says. Okay, so all of that was the Shita, was in explanation of the Shita, that a koseves is larger than a kibetza, that a koseves agasa in Yom Kippurim is larger than a kibetza. There is a discussion about fulfilling su'uda shlishes, eating peros, eating raw fruits, and drinking wine. Tosos writes, you can't learn from the fact from over here that you could be mashlim with sudos of chag sukkos b'minei targima, that you could do the same with sudos Shabbos, that you could be mashlim the requirement of sholosh sudos. I mean, we're talking about that you're required to do X number of sudos in the sukkah, and the Gemara says, and you could do that with minei targima. It doesn't all have to be with bread. So maybe you can say the same thing with three meals on Shabbos, that you could have three meals, and it doesn't have to be with bread, that it could be with minei targima as well. So it says tells us you cannot derive one from the other, because by Shabbos you have to dafka have bread, because three sudos of Shabbos are derived from the man that came down in the midbar, where it says hayom three times, and the man is clearly b'makom bread. It's b'makom pas, and therefore you have to eat dafka bread. Tosfos further writes that even if you can mekayim suda Shabbos with mine targima, but certainly be peros, you certainly cannot be mekayim suda Shabbos. And maskanas ha-gemara, that sudas chakasukos, you can't be mekayim with peros, would certainly apply to Shabbos as well. But the truth is, it's really a machlokas rishonim. Rabbi Tam is quoted in a number of places, quoted by the Chida and by others, then from the Sefer HaYashar, that Yuyotze is suda shlishis even with parperes and mine targima. Many other Rishonim say that way as well. However, the Mi'iri and a whole other group of Rishonim, the Ritva and the Yireim, they say like Tosfos in our sugya, that by Suda Shabbos, you dafka have to have pas. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Haim, in Reish Ad Yal, Sifhei, Shulchan Aruch says you have to have pas for Suda Shlishis, unless you're Saveya B'Yosef. You're so stuffed that you can't imagine putting pas into your system. And the Ramah writes that Hu Adin, when you're not able to eat pas, like on Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, then you could be Mekayim Suda Shlishis with Peros, Basar, Adadim. But certainly the implication of the Shulchan Aruch is that ideally, under normal circumstances, one should dafkaf pas for su'uda shlishis. So it's more chamor, like Tosa says, it's more chamor than the su'udos that you need to have in the sukkah, according to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that to fulfill su'uda shlishis, you need to have pas. There's an interesting tshuva in the Kleisenberger, in Divrei Yitziv, in Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel, in Aruch Chaim, whether you could be mekayim su'uda shlishis with yayin. He says, you know, it's so interesting. The poskim discuss basar, dagim, peros. No one mentions yayin. Can you be Yotzi Suda Shlishis with Yayin? So he quotes a Chuvas Dvar Moshe that you're not Yotzi Suda Shlishis with Peros unless they're Mavushal, but not with raw Peros. So the Kleisenberger writes that the reason is because Rashi says, Mine Targima are Peros Kistin Vekaflutos Mivushalos. So that's the only thing, that's the only thing that qualifies as Mine Targima. So Tulsa says, but in our Sugi, we see that the Maskanas HaGemara, you're not Yotzi with Peros. So Targima, so how could Rashi say Mine Targima means peros? So the answer for Rashi might be that there's a difference between peros muvushalim and peros chayim. That mine targima are cooked peros, raw peros that are not muvushal are not mine targima, and you would not be yotzei in the sukkah with them. But peros muvushalim, even if they're ma'isa kedera, mine targima are called mine because they're ma'isa kedera, they're called mine targima. That's what Rashi is saying is mine targima. So therefore, says the Kleisenberger, when it comes to Shabbos also, yeah, it has to be similar to the man, like we said in Tosos. And over there it says, as a shartofu of uves ashartav ashelu bashelu. So you see that there's a requirement of bishul, that you need to eat cooked foods for shalashudas, or baked foods for shalashudas. So he suggests, maybe that's why none of the posts can discuss yayin, because yayin is that's not mavushal, you cannot be yotzei with, because you need a davar mavushal dafka. And yayin mavushal, you can't say that you're not yotzei with yayin she'enu mavushal, and you'd be yotzei with yayin mavushal, because being mavushal wine is a downgrade on wine. So it can't be that the better wine, the high quality wine, you're not yotzei, but the cheap stuff, you are yotzei. Can't be. So that's why the Kleisenberger says, that's why none of the posts can mention yayin for shalashudas. If I recall, I think in I'm not remembering what he says now, but I think in the Sefer Kovitz Halachos of Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rabbi Kleinman's write-up of Shmuel Kamenetsky's Piskei Halacha, he has a lengthy discussion about yayin as well for shalashudas. Pashtus is because it's a mashke and it's not a food, that at the very least shalashudas has to be a food. What you qualify as a meal, okay, once you're within food, you could discuss what qualifies as a meal. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on. That he disagrees with Rav Yehuda. He says when we say koseves agasa, it means it's slightly less than a kebetza. That's the lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is Asur, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, that it's slightly less than a kebetza. And the Ran explains, like we said before, that whenever you have machlokas, you don't want the machlokas to be minakotze ala kotze. So if there's a shita that holds that a koseves agasa is more than a kebetza, the shita that says it's less than a kebetza must hold just slightly less than a kebetza. So he says chaser mikabetza. So the Gemara brings a raya from our Mishnah, Ditnan, from a Mishnah. Ditnan, the Mishnah says in the very beginning of Maseches Beitza, that when it talks about the Yisra Balirah Bayimatze by Pesach, that Beishame Omrim Saor Bekazayas, that if the shear of yeast that you're violate Balirah Bayimatze on is if you own a Kazayas worth of. But Chametz, if you just have regular Chametz, Bekakoseves, then it's only a shear of Koseves, which is larger than a kezayis. Va'avinan ba, so we discuss shitas beishamai, and we say, my time at the beishamai. Why does beishamai think that there's a different shear for sa'or than there is for chametz when it comes to bali rabbi matzeh? Beis Hillel holds that they both have the same shear, it's both the shear kezayis. Why does as Beis Shammai, I think there should be a different shiur. So says the Gemara, because Nichtav Rachmana Chametz, the Torah could have just said V'lo Yira Lecha Chametz V'lo Ba'i Sa'ar. It didn't need to say V'lo Yira Lecha Sa'ar V'ana Amina, and I could figure out on my own through a Kal V'chomer Oma Chametz Shein Chimutzo Kasha Chametz, which is not as intense, is Asur B'Kazayis, a Kazayis of it is Asur Sa'ar Shechimutzo Kasha Sa'ar, which is a much more intense form of Chametz. Lo Kolshkein, all the more so should be Asur B'Kazayis. So Mitbalgin Rechman, from the fact that the Torah is Mechalik and writes the two of them separately, so Linda l'chashiru shalzeh, lo kashiru shalzeh. It must be that the Torah is not relying on a kal v'chomer, because by a kal v'chomer, you would have a rule that a dayu l'abamin adin li'os kanidon. You'd be limited only to the you'd be limited only to the shiur that's actually stated. So the shiur that you're learning from, which would be a shiur kazayis. So it must be that's why the Torah spells out sa'ar separately. That sa'ar b'kazayis v'chametz b'koseves. That yes, sa'ar the shiur is b'kazayis, but by chametz it's a larger shiur. But v'yisal kadayis b'koseves agasa shamu yisayin ami kebetza. But if you hold that b'koseves agasa is more than a kebetza, so all Beis Shammai needs is that chametz should be a shiur that's bigger than a kazayis. So the first thing they thought of is a koseves. Well, the first thing you think of is a koseves. What's the next shear up on the list? What's the next shear that's bigger than a kazayis? Well, it depends. What do you hold? Is a koseves bigger than a kebetza or smaller? If a koseves is bigger than a kebetza, Beis Shammai should have jumped to kebetza instead of jumping all the way to koseves. So that's the raya. That's what the Gemara says. V'yisal g'day koseves agasa shamru yiseiru mi kebetza. If koseves agasa means more than a kebetza, michti, Beis Shammai ashiru d'nav shmi kazayis kamadri. All Beis Shammai needs to find is a shear that's bigger than a kazayis. So listen to Kabeitza, let him say Kabeitza. Vinami Kiadodininu. And you know what? Even if a Koseves is exactly the same size as a Kabeitza, Nisni Kabeitza, still he should say a Kabeitza. Because that's the much more common shear. You know, people talk about it all the time. They talk about a Kabeitza. People never talk about a Koseves. Alav Shmamina, Koseves Pachusami Kabeitza. So this seems to be a riot that a Koseves must be less than a Kabeitza. Because if it were larger than a Kabeitza, then Beishame would have said that the shear of chametz of Bali Rabbi Yimatz and chametz is bekebetza and not bekoseves. And now, even though the shear of a grogeres there's another shear. There's a shear of a grogeres that's smaller than a kebetza. So the Tos Yishanim points out, even though that's smaller than a kebetza, but Beis Shammai didn't want to say that. That a shear that's so tiny that doesn't even give Yishuv Adas is going to be the shear of the Yisr of Bayiraya on Chametz. So anyway, so now the Gemara rejects this Raya that Rav Zvid brought. Mimai, how do you know to bring a Raya from here that a Koseves Agasa is smaller than a Kebetza? Maybe I could even argue that a Koseves Agasa is larger than a Kebetza. Hastama Kebetza, but a Koseves Agasa is larger than a kebetza. But Beis Shammai didn't say koseves agasa. Beis Shammai said koseves. And maybe a koseves is smaller than a betza. You have to remember, koseves agasa means a gezunta koseves, a big koseves. But a regular koseves, maybe an achinami, is smaller than a kebetza. And that's why Beis Shammai says koseves, which means a koseves beinonis. You know, it's very difficult to understand even what the havamina is. Why would the Gemara have thought initially that a koseves means a koseves agasa, that the two are synonymous? It's very, very strange, very difficult to understand the havamina. The answer is so good. And it could also be that a koseves agasa is the same size as a kebetza, but maybe you just gave one example, meaning we're now rejecting the idea that we said before, that if they were the same, then for sure he would have chosen the example of a kebetza, because kebetza is so much more common. Nah, maybe he wanted to use it as a teaching moment, a teachable moment. No one knows what a koseves is, so he told his whole shir that, he told all of his talmidim that the shir for Bal Yirah and Chametz is a koseves. Like, oh, what's a koseves? Okay, so he got to teach them something. So maybe that's, you don't know that he would necessarily choose that which is more common, right? The Gemara lahagdil Torah lahadia. The Gemara a lot of times will bring up other things that are not really relevant, just to teach us more things along the way. That's how the Baal Mor explains at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, where once we already know what the word Or means at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, we know it means night, and yet the Gemara still brings a million different rayas as to what it means, because it gives us an opportunity to learn about Mapelis or Lishmon Abecha, and gives an opportunity. opportunity to learn about kachim and, you know, all these different halachas, the Torah, the Adir. So if you could sneak in a new, you know, limud of what a kosefes is, so maybe that's why they snuck it in. So says the Gemara, Ella, another raya to Rav Zvid, that a kosefes agas is less than a kebetzos mehacha, from the Mishnah and the Sechus Brachos, that ad kama, what's the shir achila that mezamnin, that you'd be chayiv to be mezamin on, ad kezayis, only until the kezayis, but not less. Divrei Meir. That's what Meir Shitur. You don't mean at Kebetza. Rabbi says Shir Kebetza. So B'maykamithgi, what is the Machlokas Tanaim over here? The Pasuk says what you have to bench on. The Pasuk says V'yachalta V'savata, and then V'rachtas Hashem Elokecha. The Chiyuv Birchas HaMazon is only if you hit Kedei Sviya. So Rabbi Meir Savar V'yachalta Zu Achila V'savata Zu Shtia. That if you eat a Kezayis, Achila always means Kezayis, and V'savata just means that you also drink together with it. V'achila B'Kezayis. So that's why Kezayis is enough to bench on as long as you also drank. Rabbi Yehuda Savra V'yachalta B'Savata Achila Sheyesh B'Sviya Veza Zez Kebetza. What's an Achila that has Sviya? That's a Shir Kebetza. So that's what you would have to bench on. But V'Sat Kosev Zagas Shomri Yisrael B'Kebetza. If a Kosev Zagas is larger than a Kebetza, Hashta Kebetza Sabuya Misaba. If a Kebetza is enough to give a person a sense of Sviya, Daita Lo Miyatva, you think it's not going to be Miyasiv Daita? Meaning the Shir of Yid Achila and Yom HaKippurim is a shear that would be Miyasik Daito. Miyasik Daito is less full than Sviya. Sviya means really full. So if a Kebetza could make you really full, then how could it be that Kosevas is that you need a Kosevas to reach Yishuv Hadas, to reach Miyas V'Daita? A Kebetza for sure should get you to Miyas V'Daita. It even gets you to a Kebetza should for sure get you to Miyas V'Daita. It even gets you to Sviya. Elav Shemamino Kosevas Agasu Shamru Pachas Mikebetza. That's a raya that Kosevas Agasu, which gets you to Miyas V'Daita, is a little less than a Kebetza. Once you eat Kebetza, then you have Sviya. Kebetza, Mesaba, Kukasevas, Miyas V'Daita. Kebetza gives a person Sviya, but a Kosevas only gives a person Miyas V'Daita. Now, Tosus points out, Minat Torah, there's no Chiyuv B'Birchas HaMazon unless you're Mamish Soveya. The whole Machlokas is a Chiyuv B'Birchas HaMazon Midrabanan. Right? That's the whole discussion over here. When you'd be Chayiv on a Drabanan level, but on a Daraisa level, for sure you need absolute Sviya, which is an even higher Madreka. But okay, but that's the raya, at least for the Shita of Rav Zvid, that a Kosevas Hagasa is smaller than a Kebetza. Okay, but Hashem, same time tomorrow, we'll pick up with the last three words on the page on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Thank you very much.
All right, I like your